Billie Eilish and Bad Guy. Giles Brown here, live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
This is Frank Bruno, you listen to Giles Brown on TRE.
And the time is 28 minutes past 10. The Red Arrows represent the very best speed, agility and precision aerobatic flying in the Royal Air Force. And the people who wear those iconic red flight suits are rigorously selected, not just for their flying skills, lightning fast reflexes and nerves of steel, but for their mental resilience, courage and humility. David Montenegro is officer commanding and former Red One team leader, and he joins me on the line today. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
The pleasure is indeed all mine. I was just chatting with you off air, and I just mentioned that next weekend is the British Grand Prix, of course, or 2 weeks' time, I think it is. And, you know, I have been to the Grand Prix on various occasions, and one of the highlights, or at least low-flying lights of the occasion, is the Red Arrows display.
It is. It's a highlight in our diary. It's one of 70, 75 public displays we do in the season, but the ones that help celebrate and raise the profile of a really phenomenal sporting event in the UK calendar are definitely highlights for our programme. It's quite a challenging display site, Silverstone, because you know a lot of the crowd are actually at Beckett's, can't see you. So we have to modify the height of the show quite a bit just to make sure that everyone there can see us. But flying down the pit lane just before the start, after the national anthems, is the best part for us. Treasured memories from being a team leader.
And obviously, the height or lack of it is quite outstanding. And you just seem to be just over the grandstands when you come down that pit straight.
Yeah, well, for the fly past, something I hadn't realised before I became Red One is sometimes Silverstone can be impacted by murky weather. And on one year, we had a lot of rain, it was very cloudy, but you could see the pit lane lights, starting lights, from around 9 miles away. So the run-in was absolutely dead certain. And we fly over around 500 feet over the top. But the timing is really important because it goes out on the global television networks. We're about plus or minus 2 seconds to make sure we're, you know, over the top at the right time.
Good grief, unbelievable. So how do you become a Red Arrow? Because every small boy wants to be a Red Arrow. I mean, we all had the die-cast jets when we were kids. We've all seen you at air shows. We've seen you on TV doing flypasts, of course, the recent Jubilee celebrations as well. But how many sort of flying hours under your belt do you need? Are you invited? Is there a selection course? How does it work?
Well, for the young boys and girls that want to come and join this team, the first thing they have to do is join the Royal Air Force and then get through training to be selected to be a fast jet pilot. Now, once you've achieved that, which takes quite a few years of work and dedicated effort, but is the best job in the world, is once you've done your first operational tour, if you've built enough hours and you've been scored highly enough by your counterparts and your seniors, you can volunteer to join the team. So you've done an operational tour, you've got around 1,500 fast jet hours, and then we sift through around 15 to 20 applications. We shortlist down to 7 or 9 people, and then you're on a 7-day selection with the team to make 2 or 3 slots. So it's quite a rigorous process, necessarily so, because we need to pick the right people. You know, not just as pilots, but as service ambassadors, because so much of our work is done on the ground, not just in the air.
How much is being a team player? This may seem a very obvious question. Is being a team player an important part because of what you do? I mean, you don't want quote unquote Top Gun mavericks joining, you know, in people who are highly individual and, you know, don't perform well with others.
Exactly that. It's fundamental to the type of characters we want to join the team, is that the first thought is about the collective. And that's not just about the pilots, that's about the team effort. And most importantly, the service effort, those that we are representing who are in operations around the world right now, we're very lucky to have the opportunity to represent them, put on a different colour flying suit rather than a green combat flying suit. We wear red or blue if you're part of the engineering team. And that is, there is no place for ego, you know, at all in our team. And yet we do look for different characters. We're not all trying to you know, recruit the same type of individuals. We like to get diverse characters throughout the team because that always leads to more of a, we call it a challenge culture, you know, continuously trying to improve what we do year on year. So, yes, the character dynamics are really, really important for us.
I mean, presumably it's training, and more training because of the work that you do. But when it comes to working out, if you like, and excuse my parlance here, because obviously I've got about as much knowledge as the Air Force has, you know, whatever. But when it comes to working out a new routine, shall we say, a new maneuver, I mean, how do you go through that? And what is it like when you try something out, if you're like almost for the first time, or you're just doing small deviations from tried and tested routines over the years?
A bit of both, actually. The team has now flown for 58 years. There are things that work and things that don't work. And all of that is written down in what's called our display directive. So when you come in as team leader, as Red One, you have one of the best jobs in setting the choreography. And you are given the mandate that if you want to design something completely new, off you go. Now, that process goes through a very determined risk analysis process where you start with a concept to design. We then start to map it out. Nothing more complicated than a whiteboard. We bring the matter experts into the room, so you bring the team pilots in, and what we call, we red team the idea, i.e. we try and pick holes in all of the areas of a certain maneuver as to why it wouldn't or why it would work. And once it's made it through that process, then we go through into the really fine detail of building the training program. My job as the officer commanding is to assure that process, and I talk to the seniors in the service to assure them that we're going down the right path, and then we start training for it. And you can modify something, or a couple of maneuvers are designed in 2015-16 that can be completely brand new to the team and really fulfilling, because it's difficult. It's difficult to find those maneuvers that haven't been tried and tested before.
And I mean, you know, Red One, which is obviously the leader. How much communication is it? Are you constantly talking during the performances to make sure that everybody is? I mean, not when you're doing whatever speed you're doing above 3 meters, 3 inches above the ground, but so everybody is absolutely concentrating.
Yes, you are. I suppose synonymous with radio, with what we're doing now. Our means of communication is by voice and ear. We can't see each other in a boardroom or on the pitch, so the voice and the response to voice is key in what we do. So the way that Red One sets the narrative, the tone of his voice, totally sets what the pilots are going to go and do. When you come from the front line, everything is done by data link and by voice call sign. But the difference with the formation flying we do in the Red Arrows is every single movement is done by what we call by ear, by the Red One calling each maneuver, each turn, each smoke on or off. And it's something that, as Red One, you have to be perfectly consistent for 3 years, for all of the 2,000 flights that you have. It's a brilliant responsibility, but you have to be on it. And then as the team pilot, your job is to listen. And I think in all of our worlds, you can probably imagine that listening can be quite difficult sometimes, particularly when you get distracted. And that's in the air safety world, that's where we concentrate very much on minimizing that distraction and staying in the mental bubble, as we call it.
How physically challenging, because it's the Hawk, isn't it, that the Red Arrows are famous for using. And how physically challenging is it? Because you're pulling these maneuvers, you're presumably pulling ridiculous amounts of G. You're trying to work out where the horizon is. You're wingtip from on either side. But the physical demands of, and we talk about the mental demands and listening in, but the physical demands must be quite something as well.
They are. They're acute demands. So G-force, we're pulling up to 8 times the force of gravity. So, you know, your inner organs are moving about a centimetre per G. So you can imagine what it's doing to your insides. But we train for that. We have specialist kits to make sure that the blood flow stays in the right part of the body. We have specialist training. And that's across the fast jet community in the Air Force, not just for the Red Arrows. But what I'm most conscious of and have to be very careful about in the way that we plan the year is cumulative fatigue. That's where it's draining. We are flying all the time, which is the best place to be as a pilot. Terrific if you're an engineer, to keep producing aircraft. But at the end of the summer, at the end of the season, if we go onto a Middle East tour and we're crewing into cockpits of 40, 50 degrees worth of heat, We have to be really careful about how we rest, crew rest, then mentally prepare and bring your performance to the peak at the right time. So I think that's probably the more difficult aspect of the team, rather than just the immediate demands of being in a, you know, in a fighter, a fast jet aircraft.
You mentioned the fact that you're doing exhibitions all around the world. I mean, you are very much ambassadors, aren't you? And how out of the cockpit, because being a Red Arrow isn't just about, you know, strapping on the crash hat and going out there. It's very much how you act outside the cockpit as well.
It is. When you come for selection on the team, we go through a mock media interview. Now, for many fighter pilots, that's the first time they've ever been put in front of a camera.
Right.
So that can start quite an interesting process of, you know, it's quite shocking, I think, for most of us. We're used to public speaking. As a fighter pilot, you have the skills to stand up in front of a room of maybe 8, 9, 10 different nations, up to 100 people in your audience that are all professional fighter pilots, and brief a mission. So you have those skills. But they're nuanced is probably the main word, because when you stand in front of the camera, everything is different. And we train our engineers and our pilots and all the people on the team to communicate a heartfelt message. You know, we're not here to set any type of hardcore agenda. It really is just communicating our service lives, what we've been through, the things that the public find interesting about military life. That's the opportunity we have to communicate in plain English, really. It's brilliant, because on one day you'll communicate to a four-year-old, which can have its challenges, and then a veteran, you know, who's got their 100th birthday. That's the range of generations completely across the social spectrum that we reach out to. And that's a really good opportunity to have, I think, in any job. Probably, well, you do that every day, but for us, it, you know, comes around on this team for only 3 years.
Tell me about the circus, and I don't mean putting on, you know, clown makeup and silly boots and flying, but is that the technical team? Is that the guys in the blue suits?
They are our hand-picked engineers that fly in the jet with us as we're moving around the country or around the world. Now, the Hawk is designed as a training aircraft. The student is nearing their final stages of fast jet training. They would sit in the front, instructor in the back. For the Red Arrows, the display pilot sits in the front. And when we move from A to B, not during displays, but only from transit flying,
right,
the engineer will sit in the back. So they go through quite a bit of training just to qualify them to sit there. And, you know, again, a phenomenal experience. They'll knock up 50, 80 hours worth of fast jet flying, which is pretty unusual for a technician in the RAF. And their job, as soon as we jump out of the aircraft, is they go straight into synonymous, talking about Silverstone, synonymous with a pit stop routine. It's not done in 90 seconds. You know, we give it 2.5 hours from touchdown to the next takeoff. But it's refuel, maintenance, cleaning, oxygen being put back into the aircraft. A very regulated process, and done in some pretty austere locations. That can be done somewhere as comfortable as, I don't know, Bournemouth Airport, or in the middle of the Saudi desert. It's a punishing job. But in terms of another sub team on our team, they're a wonderful bunch of individuals that come together to make that engineering team as good as it can be.
I was going to say, how much does environment, in terms of where you're actually flying, set the agenda for what you're actually maneuvering going to pull off? And are there some places that you look forward to, you know, perhaps, you know, a fly pass in Barbados more than others?
Yeah, well, something we're very proud of as being the UK aerobatic team is we deal with three different types of weather in about 20 minutes during our display. The team has had to get used to that from its inception back in the 1960s. So we can swap from our full display to our medium display. We call that rolling. And then into our flat display pretty much at any minute during the show to cater for that. That takes a lot of training and it takes good choreography, as we've discussed. Yes, good weather makes a hot, you know, it just means for Red One and the team, if it's not particularly gusty or turbulent, if the sun is shining as it was for the Jubilee weekend, it makes things a lot easier. However, the sorties, the flights when we are scrabbling around underneath cloud in 35, 40 mile an hour winds, to go and still deliver an air show safely in front of the British public in particular, yeah, it's really fulfilling. We've had some real, what we call those workers, their working trips, and where perhaps others may cancel, we work as hard as we can to deliver up to the weather limits that we have. And yeah, you don't look to those trips because you know you're going to be at capacity, but that's what we're trained to do in the RAF. And they're the trips, yeah, really good to make sure that they're still delivered for particularly the British public.
So with the book, The Red Arrows, you spoke with, former pilots, you spoke with current pilots, I mean, a huge variety of people. What was the aim? Was it just to let people into the cockpit to get a bit of a feeling, an idea of what life is like with the world's most famous flying team?
We did. The aim was not just to chronicle, but to try and give some themes to the reader about what life is like on an RAF squadron. Yeah, our output is quite different to a traditional RAF squadron, but our processes, our philosophy of training, delivery, it really is RAF life. The point, I suppose, about putting these words down is that where we're incredibly fortunate is the experiences we have in this team are remarkable. I mean, that they can be life-changing. The people that you get to meet, whether it's dignitaries, notable characters in the world, the pressures that we face, the reputational pressures that we have to deal with because of who we're representing. If we're representing the UK abroad, they come with pressures. We just wanted to give an idea of what it feels like, not just what we have done, but what it feels like to deal with it, where we succeed and, where we have failed in different measures as well. So, yeah, not just to have a coffee table book, I think, was the aim, to give some real heartfelt kind of human emotion to what we do and how we do it.
And, I mean, have you taken sort of people up in that backseat? Have you taken dignitaries, sports people to, for a quick blast around, across the fields, just to give them a bit of a taste?
We have done. Part of the RAF engagement strategy is to offer those experiences to certain individuals around the world for certain reasons. It's rare these days. It's not common to take people flying in a fast jet, particularly when we look at our risk mitigations. But if the benefit is there, if the exposure to the environment is worth taking them, then our very seniors make those decisions. The Red Arrows has been a perfect conduit for that. We have taken all sorts of sports stars, people, particularly an influence maybe in industry that we're looking to secure, prosperity deals with, that type of thing that the team is very good about. It's very good for using. And indeed, we took some years ago, Lewis Hamilton came flying with us and David Coulthard.
Right.
And they needed about 10 minutes quiet time afterwards, I think. and G-force in a slightly different axis than they're used to. They're used to a very lateral G-force in the cars. They're exposed to the whole 3D environment in the fighter world. So we haven't flown Tom Cruise yet, but we're still hoping out for that. We got very close in 2017. We're still holding out for him to come fly with the team.
Got to ask,
with the latest release.
Got to ask the question, have you all piled down to into your local IMAX to go and see it? I mean, imagine the rest of the audience as they turn around and see you guys rock up in red flying suits behind them.
We had discussed, do we all go together? We were all in another part of the UK last two weekends ago, and we thought, should we do it? We just couldn't find the time between the displays. So the team have all gone individually. I'm the only one in the team that hasn't seen it yet, so okay. I've got to get myself into an IMAX and watch it.
What have the team said? Have they raised eyebrows? Because, I mean, the audience has been saying it's absolutely brilliant, but for those who have been on the sharp end and know what it's like?
I think there's no point pulling apart the reality versus what is displayed in a Hollywood movie.
Sure.
Because so much about flying is the emotional connection with what you do. I mean, it's a dreamer's job to fly, no matter what else you do. And films like Top Gun really set those type of emotions going. And the replies from those that do the job every day has been tremendous. The reviews from the team, other fighter pilots, they love the film because it's just really hard work being a fighter pilot. There are long briefs, long debriefs, years of training, but there are certain moments that you do, elements in the cockpit that you experience that I think that those type of films encapsulate, that are worth it all. So brilliant. I'm glad that, you know, the industry still promotes the good bits of the fighter world.
And talking about those certain moments, just give me a couple of highlights when you've actually sat back, and not obviously in the cockpit, but you've gone, this is what it means to be a Red Arrow. I pinched myself because this is what I wanted to be ever since I first, you know, strapped on a flying suit.
Oh, I mean, you're very lucky. And when you become a pilot, particularly in the RAF, you get all these milestones. The first time I flew solo in a small propeller aircraft, the first time I flew in a fighter aircraft with afterburner, all of those are burnt in my memory. From a Red Arrow's perspective, something I hadn't thought about is when we'd got our first display authority, myself and the Red 2 and the Red 4 of 2009, when we strapped into the aircraft, the red suit glared off the canopy as we pulled the canopy down and started the engines. And I remember transiting from, where were we, Greece to Jordan to do our first display, and thought, goodness me, I'm bright red in here. It's something I never really thought about. And then we were upside down over the Jordan Desert, which concentrated the mind away from the glaring red suit. I was, a huge highlight for me was touring the team to China and back. That was a real challenge. But we had one evening where we flew from Singapore into KL, and the airport authority gave us 5 minutes of free airspace over KL. And we got one of the best pictures we ever got with the team flying past the Petronas Towers. And it was just a beautiful evening of flying. And then the final one I would say is when you get to the top of the loop, you arrive at the top of the loop into a show, particularly on the British coastline, and you look over you look through the canopy, just lift your head up and have a look. Wow, it's incredible. You see 100,000 to 150,000 people free, you know, that's not, haven't paid to be there, families, generations. I love that view. I still love that view. I'm very lucky to see it. So they're probably my top three.
And I always get sent press notes, and there's bits from Lewis Hamilton. There's Ben Miller's come in. He's described it as an exhilarating read, the next best thing to taking the controls of a Hawk fast jet, and you're much less likely to throw up.
Yeah, indeed. If you do get airsick from the book, then we probably haven't done our job. But I hope it does give a taste of what it's like. Yeah, as I said, to experience the life, not just what we do.
The book is called The Red Arrows, the official story of Britain's iconic display team. It's by Wing Commander David Montenegro, who we've been speaking to today. David, if people want to follow The Red Arrows on the social medias or yourself on the social medias, where can they find you?
Across all media, whether it's Insta, Twitter, Facebook, just type in hashtag Red Arrows and you'll come to our landing page. We have a proper Air Force site that talks about the team pilots, the history, our engineers, everyone that makes up the team. So just go visit those sites and it will tell you everything you need to know.
The book is called The Red Arrows. Enjoy the Grand Prix weekend. And it is written by Wing Commander David Montenegro. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.